Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specing, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin, press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your calls. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. Lisa's here screening your calls. If you're listening to us online, you might want to jump in and grab one of the open phone lines. The way to do that, pick up the phone and dial 347-884-8327. Once you're on that call, go ahead and press 1, and we'll get to you with questions, comments, topics, whatever you might have tonight. I'm going to go over some freight rates, kind of see what's going on with that, and then joining me tonight will be Rocco Davanzo from Landstar. So, again, if you want to join us, grab an open line, 347-884-8327 to dial into the live call. Once you're on that call, press 1. Lisa will screen your call, and we'll get to you in just a bit. Let's take a look at TransCor and see what's going on. This is for the week of December 12th through the 18th. And looks like, you know what, let's go over, I haven't done a wrap-up for a while. Let's go see what's going on for the week, the month, and the year. If we're looking at the spot market load index, this is just the number of loads available on the spot market and what the trend has been. Actually, not a bad week for mid-December. The spot market load index was up 4.4%. Nice little bounce. For the month off, if we're comparing, let's compare November to October. We have all the November numbers in. November was down about 14%. That's overall spot market load index compared to October. And for the year, comparing November 2010 versus November of 2009, actually a 67% increase. So even though November was off compared to the volume we saw in October, certainly much higher than it was in 2009. If we take it to look at the same numbers for the truck index, this tells us how many trucks are posted on the boards. For the week of December 12th through the 18th compared to the prior week, off 1.7%. Compare that to the load index, and it gives us a jump of about 6%. We had 4.4% more loads, 1.7% less trucks. For November over October, the truck index was off 13%. Compare that to the load index being up 14%. Actually, November doesn't look too bad. We had a 1% increase there. For the year, November over November, the truck index was off 13%. If we combine that with the fact that the load index was up 67%, then we've got an 80% swing. Year over year, so not too bad for November. Looking at the different segments, the dry van load-to-truck ratio up 4.7% for the week, off 13% for the month, up 48% for the year. Flatbed load-to-truck ratio up 8.6% for the week, down 6.6% for the month, up 198% for the year. Reefer load-to-truck ratio up 4.6% for the week, up 3.1% for the month, and up 103% for the year. Fuel prices up 0.5% for the week, 3.5% for the month, and up 13% for the year. So those are your numbers for this week and a wrap-up of the month and the year as well. If you listen to it to us online, still time to grab an open line or two, pick up the phone and dial 347-884-8327. Once you're on that call, if you'd like to join me and Rocco DeVonzo from Landstar, if you've got any questions from Landstar, for Landstar, if you're thinking about maybe making the move, if you're already there and you've got something you'd like to share with us, by all means, jump in, press 1 on your phone, and we'll get to those calls here in just a little bit. Joining me right now is Rocco. Welcome to the program, Rocco.
Hey, thanks, Kevin. I appreciate the invite again. I'm getting to be a regular.
Yes, you are. We like that. Glad to have you back here.
Good to be here.
Hey, we talked a little bit over the weekend about kind of wrapping up this year and getting ready for next year. Do we want to continue on with that theme?
Oh, we can do that, sure, and then we'll see how the calls go.
Okay, sounds good. So what are some of the things, we're really talking about wrapping up the year now. I mean, we're just about done with the week.
Yeah, I suspect most of your listeners are probably, if they're not already home, running one of the last loads of the year, either headed out or headed back home for the final time this year. We talked a little bit about goal setting on Saturday, and when things slow down like this, and not just truckers take a break, but a lot of manufacturers take a break this time of year too, so things do slow down, and it's a good time to sit back and say, hey, what happened in 2010, and what do I want to happen in 2011?
Absolutely. One of the things that I try to do this time of year, because we are going to have some days off and a little bit of downtime, it's a great time to get caught up on all the stuff. You know, we have all that stuff all year long that we kind of put off. And some big stuff, some little stuff, some we've been putting off for a long time. Great time to catch up on maintenance. You know, get the truck in. All the little stuff that's been, you know, kind of you put it off because you don't have time, or maybe you didn't have money, or you just waited for whatever reason. This week, while it's down, if you get it done now, you're not losing any revenue while it's in the shop, and you'll get in that. Squeeze in a couple more tax breaks before the end of the year?
Sure, that's great advice. When you're down, I always like to say when you're down, get a couple of things done. If you're down for, repairs, get your laundry done, get your bookkeeping done. Anytime you're down, it's time to pack in some of those things that you can do only when you're down or that you normally have to take time off to do. Great advice.
You mentioned a good one there, and I want to stress that one, and mostly because I worked at this for a lot of years, and bookkeeping. Most people really don't like the paperwork side of things. They do the minimum just to get by. And most people, and a lot of owner-operators I know, will continue to procrastinate on the bookkeeping until it's April and they have to do it. And that is one of the worst things you can do. Take this time now. You're already down. By April, you're going to get busy again.
Sure.
There's going to be freight to run. There's going to be money to be made. There are so many reasons I could list for not waiting. Let's talk about some of them. We did just one. Right now, you're slow. You're going to be down anyway. Get the paperwork done. Two, get a jump on everybody else. When I was doing accounting full-time and doing tax returns, you know, I would spend all January getting the office ready for the flood. You know, all the software's installed, everything's ready to go. And you would sit there at your desk waiting for the first tax return to come in. And when it came in, you would do it. I mean, you would turn the first tax return around in 2 or 3 hours and just get it right back to somebody. And every day after that, you know, you had the really early people that could get their stuff to you in, you know, the second week in February after they got all their documents. So the last 3 weeks of February, you could turn your tax returns around as they hit the desk, and that's pretty common. Once March hit, you started to fall behind. By the time April got there, we were sometimes 70, 80, 100 tax returns behind, and the stuff just piles up, and everybody needs it by April 15th. And no matter how hard you try, the level of service would go down just because you were so swamped. And
that's just what I was thinking, Kevin. You lose a little bit of quality. There's no way you couldn't lose a little bit of quality in that scenario.
No matter how hard you try not to. I mean, we tried over and over and over. I tried coming up with, you know, different systems, and, you know, we were offer incentives to get them in early. And but no matter what, you get buried, and the quality goes down. You just can't spend as much time with each tax return. So the person getting their tax return done in April doesn't get the same level of quality as the person in February. Another big thing with owner-operators, this is really tough when it comes to taxes. Their tax liability is all over the board. I mean, there are so many things that can affect it, so many different directions, that 1 year it could be relatively low and they're, you know, maybe their spouse is withholding and some of the quarterlies they sent in took care of it. Maybe they even got a refund that year. And then the very next year, it could be the opposite. They could end up owing $15,000 more than their estimates and their withholding. And a lot of people don't stay on top of it. They're not doing it throughout the year. The earlier you get it done, the sooner you're going to know what that liability is and you can start getting ready for it. The worst thing to have happen is wait till April 15th and get your tax return in so late that your tax preparer has to file an extension because they can't get it done. Then hopefully you get it sometime in May. You're already late. You're being charged interest and penalties because you haven't paid the whole liability yet. You find out that you owe $10,000 or $12,000, and your first quarterly estimate was due on April 15th as well, and you didn't know what it was because you didn't have last year's tax liability done, and your estimates are based on the prior year's tax return. So it really just compounds the problem. Now you start the year behind the eight ball already. This is the week right here.
Yeah,
sit down.
We were sitting down here to talk, and I was thinking, boy, you know, finding out something December 22nd, it's hard enough to try to make a change then, but at least you got 8 or 9 days to do something. If you find out, if you go, boy, I made a little more money than I thought I was going to make this year. I had a little more revenue than I thought I was going to have. Should I buy those 6 or 8 tires now instead of January or February, but you find that stuff out in April, Kevin, and it's just too late.
Well, you know, you just brought up a point that I hadn't even got to. I was on all the other stuff, and I'm glad you brought this up. We can still do something. I mean, we still have some options. We're in the calendar year, like you said. We could go buy tires. You could look ahead. If you sit down and you get your accounting done, and you find out, and I think a lot of people might be surprised this year, you find out that you did a whole lot better in 2010 than you did in 08 or 09.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be the norm this year. And if that's the case, many people are going to find that their quarterly estimates were too low, because we tend to, depending on the accounting system being used and your accountant, a lot of accountants base your estimates on the prior year and then just wait and make it up. And if you find that out now, you could at least look ahead and say, okay, what kind of things will I need in the next 30, 60, 90 days? I might want to accelerate those purchases into this year and get that tax break this year while I can.
Sure. I think you said it very well. I don't know what to say, but – you know, in April, you're talking about things that are already done. In December, we're getting close to the wire, but the wire is still ahead of us, and there are still things that can, you know, the changes that can be made or purchases that can be made before the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's another one while we're on it. If you get it done this week and you find out you have made a lot more money, you could get into your accountant now. Your accountant is not all that busy. By the first couple weeks in January, he'll have time to look at your numbers and say, you know what, this isn't going to be an exact number, but you can expect that your tax liability is going to go up $4,000 or $5,000 over last year, and we didn't account for that in the estimates. Now, you have a couple options. You could make it on your final estimate January 15th. You don't really have to, though.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you can do. You can look out till April 15th, because that's really when it's all due, and you could break down the $4,000 by the number of weeks between now and April 15th, and it doesn't hurt nearly as much to come up with $4,000 a little bit each week.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than find that out on April 15th and have to come up with it all at once.
Much, much easier. Much easier to spread it out like that.
So
easier on you, easier at home, easier everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we need to do to wrap up this year. Take care of maintenance, take care of paperwork, bookkeeping, get your taxes in order, and then what about getting started for next year? What kind of things should we be thinking about as we head into January?
I'll tell you what I like to think about is just where do I want to be next December 22nd? What do I want to be doing sitting at my desk at home? What thoughts do I want to be having? Do I want to be in a little bit of a panic because I'm two truck payments behind? Or do I want to be saying, hey, like you just said, I made a couple more bucks than I thought I would. How can I plan for that? Or better yet, Kevin, here's the number that I want to hit by December 22nd, 2011. How am I going to get there, starting with the week of January 3rd? What do I need to do that week to hit that number? And I realize that we don't have complete control over everything. There's freight rates, there's freight availability, but it all starts with a goal and then a plan or a series of steps to reach that goal. And I think now is the time to start thinking about that. Where do I want to be at the end of next year?
You know, that's real similar to what we just talked about. If you find out early that you've got a big tax bill coming, and I think a lot of people are going to be surprised because of what happened in 2010 with rates and volume and that kind of thing. If you've got between now and April 15th, and you break it down into weekly amounts, it makes it much easier. If you have big goals that you'd like to achieve in the coming year, that's wonderful. You should have big goals. We should be stretching. We should be trying to achieve things we've never achieved before. But you can't wait till next December to try to achieve it all before the end of the year. So the same thinking and logic applies. Set those goals, then break them down. What do you need to do this week and this month and today even? Break it down into little goals and set it throughout the entire year so that you're thinking about it constantly. And then you can measure what's going on. You could look out and say, hey, wait a minute, I needed to make X number of dollars a week in order to hit my goal for the year, and I've been a little off. I'm still a little bit under. What can I adjust now so that we can get back on track for that goal?
And as we talked about on Saturday, it's a lot easier to hit small goals than it is to hit one big one. It's a lot easier to recover when you miss a small goal, and everybody's going to miss a small goal. If I set four goals, I really want to hit three of them. And when I do miss the one, it's okay because I knew I was going to miss it, and I knew how I was going to react when I missed it, as opposed to setting a goal in January for December. You really don't know come June where you are. Are you halfway there? Are you three-quarters of the way there? Are you one-quarter of the way there? You don't know. Smaller goals help you break that up and give you a better idea of your progress.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things we talked about over the weekend, and I've said this for a long time about your system, is many owner-operators are in a system, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's where a lot of us start. In fact, I've recommended sometimes people that start, if they're new to the industry, if they're new to being an owner-operator, sometimes being in that mileage contract isn't a bad thing. Learn how to, you know, own the truck and, you know, just worry about the expense side and get your feet wet. But, you know, there's that point where you say, okay, what's next? What do I want to do next? And your system, the system at Landstar, allows you that next big move up, which is the ability to control not only your expenses and set goals on the expense side, but the ability to control the income side of things, the ability to set goals on how much you want to make per mile. It's not set in stone. You choose your rates and choose which lanes you run, and you can say, you know, I'd like to increase what I'm making per mile by 10% this year. You can start to work on that. You can start to work on how often you want to run or when you want to run or what your schedule might be. Maybe you want to work 3 weeks out of every month and take a week off, or maybe you want to take off a month in the summer to spend with the kids or whatever it is. Sure. Maybe you want to stay in a certain part of the country during certain times of the year based on weather or whatever it might be. All of those goals are possible under your system. You have all that freedom and you have all those choices.
Boy, you said it, Kevin, and all that freedom is there. You know, I said Saturday, and I've said it 100 times before to anyone who listens to me, if you're in a mileage-based system and you decide you're going to make 25% more revenue in 2011, the only way to do that is to drive 25% more miles. There's just no way around that. And you were right earlier when you said, for some people, especially when you're new, that's the right way to go, because it is easy to wake up in the morning and you know exactly what you're going to do because somebody else already told you. But as you grow as a person and as a business owner, you're going to look for other opportunities, and we think Landstar presents a great way to do that. I've often said, you've often said, other folks in management of Landstar have said, it's the best thing, the closest thing to running with your own authority without running with your own authority. You're out there, there's a lot of choices, there's a lot of decisions, but there's also a great backbone of support. And you talk to any of our BCOs today, and they'll agree with me. There's great support at Landstar, and that's something that we've built over the years. But there is a ton of freedom to make those choices. Do I want to change trailer types? Do I want to buy my own trailer? Do I want to run different areas of the country? Do I want to run at different times of the year? Do I want to run different types of freight? All of those affect your income. All of those may seem daunting at first, but we've got a great system in place to help support those decisions.
You know, you and I have talked a lot over the years, but I don't think I ever told you how I came to that. And I have used that exact sentence a lot of times for a lot of years, that it's as close to having your own authority as you can get without having your own authority. And the way that I came to that was long before I was on the radio, when I was doing accounting and working with owner-operators and doing seminars. One of the most common questions I would get is, I want to get my own authority. I'm tired of the carrier telling me where to go. I'm tired of only making X number of cents per mile, and I can't make any more. I'm tired of not having the choice I want to have. I'm tired of not being able to take time off or get home when I need to get home. I want my own authority. And that was a really difficult question for me, because when I was doing accounting, I for every 30 people that would go get their own authority, no lie, only one would succeed at it. I mean, that was the ratio that I was seeing. That was all through the 90s, and nothing's really changed. It was all for the same reasons we see today. And the other 29 would either, it would be such a drain on them financially, they would end up not even being an owner-operator anymore. They'd lose their truck, or at the very least, they'd go back to being leased to somebody and end up 3 or 4 months behind and have to struggle to catch up. Most of them went into it not prepared. So I hated seeing that. I mean, my job was to help them succeed, And I sat down and I said, I need to put together a list of all the things that, are going to change when you get your own authority. I'm going to do it like I always do it. I'm going to put the positives on one side of the paper and the negatives on the other side and list this out so I can put it in front of somebody and say, look, if you're going to get your own authority, you've got to know this. You've got to pay attention to this and you've got to address these issues. So I listed out all the positive things, the freedom, the choices, the ability to control your own destiny and pick your own freight, pick when you want to go home. And I listed all those things out, and I listed all the negatives out. The fact that you don't know where your freight's coming from. You got to get on the phone or on the load boards and start hustling freight, and you know, you're going to be dealing with brokers, and they may not pay on time, and you may not get the rate you want. And
you may not pay at all.
May not pay at all. That was a big one at the top of the list. You're going to have to deadhead when, you know, because you can't find any freight. I listed out all these negatives, waiting on payments, cash flow issues. You know, a lot of people don't realize how hard it is to run a business when you don't know when the money's coming in. You can have all this money that people owe you, but if you don't know when it's coming in, it becomes very difficult to run a business like that. Collections and invoicing, and so I had this list, and I looked at it, and I thought, wow, this is interesting. And I was doing some seminars at BCO days many, many years ago when I first started doing them. And I looked at this list, and I said, this is pretty interesting. I can get all the positives in Landstar system, and I really don't have to deal with any of these negatives. And that was kind of where, you know, I came up with the whole concept of this really is like having your own authority in all the good ways, and we get rid of all these back office headaches. We don't have to deal with all this stuff.
Sure, you do get paid every week. If the customer doesn't pay, Landstar pays, you know, regardless of whether the ultimate customer pays. You're going to get that settlement every week, so you're right. A lot of that stuff goes away. We do the fuel tax, all of the back office things, which, you know, in an increasingly stringent regulatory environment, that's only going to get more important over time. So you're right on the money with that, Kevin.
Hey, what do you say? I see we're already halfway through this. What do you say we get some phone calls?
Let's try it out.
All right. Let's see. Let's go to there we go. Thomas in Arkansas, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin.
Hey there.
I'm Matt. I can't remember the guest name.
Rocco.
Yeah, hi,
Rocco.
Thomas.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen,
how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm listening to you guys talk, and there towards the end, of your conversation there, you guys, both you and Kevin, are talking about, you know, reaching that next step. And I'm an owner operator, and I'm leased to a company, and I was doing the mileage thing. I have since gone percentage because the mileage thing just isn't working. When I first started this company almost 2 years ago, it was I was getting a lot of miles, but now I'm not getting those kind of miles anymore, and I'm realizing I got to do something different to get my income back up. I have talked to dozens of Landstar drivers over the last 5 years, and I'm having a really hard time finding somebody who really hates Landstar.
That's good to hear.
Every company's got somebody that, you know, that just hates the company. You know, and I always like to listen to the guys who hate the company as much as the guys who like it, because sometimes the guys who hate it, what they hate may not be a problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Thomas,
let me just jump in real quick there, because that's really interesting that you said it that way. When I did a whole seminar on how to change carriers, how to find a new carrier, I covered some of this in my DVD on how to get started. And that's exactly what I said. I said, you know, when you're thinking about going to a new carrier, the more owner-operators you can talk to that have been at that carrier or are at that carrier, the better off you're going to be. You want to find people that love it You want to find people that hate it. You want to find people who have been there for 25 years. You want to find somebody that didn't last 6 months. You want to get all those opinions. And exactly what you just said, sometimes the reason somebody would hate a company might be the exact reason I would love them. So it's really interesting that you said it that way.
I'm sorry. I get tongue twisted at times. I have to slow down when I talk. But, yeah, I've learned over the years that that's the best way to do it. And like I said, I'm not finding anybody that hates Landstar. I did find one gentleman that didn't like all the extra fees and didn't like Landstar for all the fees and stuff. So he got his own authority, and then it turns out that he's still getting loads off your load board and pays you guys to do that.
Hey, Thomas, all those fees that he doesn't like, he's going to pay them on his own anyway. There are things like insurance. You got to have insurance. When you pay them, you can point that out and say, boy, that's hard to stomach every single week. I'm just getting started here. But you got to have that stuff. There's just no way around it. We don't charge anything to anybody that isn't really required to run the business.
That was just the other thing. After I talked to him, I've talked to probably three other Landstar drivers since then, and the fees that he's talking about are fees that you pay no matter where you work. And some of them, the guys talked about there's ways to get around some of the fees that you're not required to use trip pack and stuff like that. But my question, I guess, would be, in your contract, do you guys make it very plain as to what your portion is, what the driver's portion is, and responsibilities, and what those fees may end up being?
It's absolutely plain as day in our contract what they are, Thomas.
Okay.
There's a percentage of revenue, and then there are certain deductions like we've talked about, like insurance, like the plate if you don't have one, permits, that sort of thing. But all of that stuff is laid out, and you know going in what they're going to be. Not all of them are required. You mentioned one, TripPak. If you don't use TripPak, that's not required. So it's absolutely plain as day, and in fact, that's the way it has to be. That's what the federal regulations say that it has to be. And if you're entering into a contract in this business that isn't spelled out like that, you might want to take a second look.
Okay.
I'm going to jump in here with just a little bit of a rant. It's clear in the contract. It's in there. There's no question about it. But one of the things that's happened over our industry over the last 15 years is that contracts have all gotten bigger. They've gotten longer. They have more clauses in them. And this is kind of a pet peeve of mine. It's one of the industry associations out to so-called protect owner-operators that have created the giant contracts we have today, because carriers got tired of being sued over nitpicky little stuff in contracts, and to protect themselves, they kept making contracts bigger and longer, and there's more legalese in contracts now than there used to be. So even though everything's clearly spelled out, the contract itself can be more intimidating to a lot of people, and they don't read through it because it is bigger and longer than it used to be. And it's a shame that we had to get to that point, but that's where we are. In fact, I was at it was either TCA or ATA, one of the meetings I was speaking at, and there was an attorneys group there, and one of the comments that they made was, and he was not joking, he said if a carrier comes to us and they want us to review their contract to see whether or not they are really protected against these lawsuits that we're seeing against carriers with owner-operators, he said the first thing we do, and I'm not joking, we weigh the contract. If it's not heavy enough, we know it's not good enough, and we have to start rewriting it. I almost fell off my chair when he told me that.
It's a good thing I'm sitting in mind. Yeah, lightweight paper, that would work. Well, you know, but you're right, Kevin. They have gotten longer, and they've gotten harder to understand. My problem, and I know this is a pet peeve of yours, is a lot of these companies don't give you an opportunity to truly read your contracts. And then all of a sudden you go through orientation and stuff like that, and then you get hit with all these extra fees you had no idea were going to be charged on you. And that's what frustrates me more than anything else. If I know that I'm going to be paying something, then it's one thing. But when I don't know, all of a sudden I'm expecting something on my settlement, and it ain't there because they took this extra tax or extra fee that you knew nothing about. That's what frustrates me.
Well, Thomas, I'll tell you how Landstar's contract works. We have a multi-page contract, as Kevin alluded to, that kind of spells out each party's responsibilities. Then there's a separate appendix that says, here's how you're going to get paid, and it's a percentage piece, and you can review that or talk about that separately. And then there's another separate piece that says, here are the deductions, and I would, you or anybody else, if you're in orientation or if you're on your way to orientation, if you don't understand what you're reading, ask somebody, and you will not get anything but helpful treatment from anyone at Landstar when you ask a question like that. If they don't know the answer, we're going to get you to the right person who knows the answers. That's just how we operate. You should be going into any contract with your eyes open. So if you don't understand, if you don't get it, if you can't find it, give us a call or ask your orientation coordinator, or we have people on site at all of our orientation centers who aren't orientation coordinators, but they're business specialists whose job is to provide field support like this and help you through questions like that. Get a hold of that person. They'll walk you through it. So you should never, ever go into a contract with Landstar or anyone else where you don't understand what you're signing.
Hey, Thomas, I hope that answered your question. Rocco, we've got a bunch more, and I know we're not going to get to them all. So where can they get more information? Who can they call if we don't get to all their questions tonight, or if they're interested in talking to somebody more about Landstar?
You can call our folks on Monday at our recruiting department. That number is 800-435-4010. Again, that number, 800-435-4010. I said Monday, not realizing that today is Wednesday. Of course, they'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Let's go to Iowa. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. I had two questions for Rocco tonight. One, is Landstar going to require electronic logs? And my next question is, I've noticed many fleets are requiring their owner-operators to also install the electronic logging equipment and use that. And what is the reason for that, that they're requiring the contractors to go to that?
Well, Tim, first of all, if I'm not sure I heard you correctly, but if you ask why Landstar is going to electronic logs, Landstar hasn't made any decision to go to electronic logs at all. We're doing some tests. Like a lot of fleets are doing some tests. I will tell you that the BCOs in our system who are testing the equipment for us love it, because among many things that it does is it totally eliminates all of the paperwork that's associated with logs and all of the hassles that go along with that. To answer your second question, why are some fleets doing that? First of all, there's some writing on the wall from the government or the DOT that a lot of people believe this is coming nationwide. I'm not equipped to tell you whether it is or whether it isn't, but I know that's what I read in the industry press, that folks just feel like it's coming. And then more specifically, a lot of log violations are things as simple as your logs are not updated to the last change of duty status. And a paperless system eliminates that violation completely. When you turn the truck on and move it, it updates you to your last change of duty status. So those are some of the reasons you may be hearing that, but I will tell you, Landstar hasn't made any decision to go to a paperless system, but there is some feeling in the industry that that's where the world is headed.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your comments on that. Thank you.
Okay, Tim. Thank you.
And maybe
Kevin, have you heard things like that?
Yeah. I was just talking about being at a TCA meeting, and I remember another TCA meeting about 10 years ago. Somebody who was actually up for the, I say 10 years ago, I could tell you exactly what year it was. It was whatever year that Bill Graves started at the ATA.
Mm-hmm.
Because the person I was talking to was probably in the final three people that were going to be chosen for that position. And we were both speaking and, you know, we were getting ready to do some seminars. We were talking and he said, you know, I've spent a lot of time in DC, and he was trying to decide if he was going to accept the position if it was offered to him. And he said, I'll tell you what I found. And this was, like I said, it seems like it had to be 10 years ago. Maybe it wasn't that long, but it was a while. He said, it's no longer a matter of if we will end up on electronic logs. It's just a matter of when. And he was so sure of it back then. And I don't know that anybody, no matter how inside they were or inside they are now, could absolutely make that prediction. But he seemed pretty confident that there was going to come a day that, yes, we were going to be on electronic logs.
And here we are 10 years later.
Yeah. And it's
that just
certainly
goes to say, let's worry about what has happened as opposed to what we think might happen down the line.
Yeah.
What about
control? Yeah, a lot of people got very, very excited about that. They weren't excited in a good way. They were in an uproar about it then, you know, to even think about it then. And that's a lot of time to spend worrying about something. You know, it may happen. It's certainly looking more and more like it is going to happen. And I certainly think the smart carriers are the ones who will be prepared for it if it does happen, because it's not a painless transition by any sense. It takes time to work through what equipment are you going to use? How is it going to work out? How is it going to affect all the other stuff in the system? So you need to be at least testing some of this stuff so that if it happens, you're at least ready for it.
Sure.
And one more note on that kind of stuff. I've been telling people for a couple years now, people will call me and say, I need to buy a new truck, but you know what? I want to make sure, or I'm going to make sure that it's CARB compliant. And I've been telling people, look, CARB can't make up their mind on anything. They change every date they've ever put in place, and I would not make my buying decisions this early based on CARB. And it turns out I can't understand everything that came out the other day because it just added a bunch of confusion on a system that was already confused. But the one thing I was able to pull out of it is we were all going to have to meet some sort of a new requirement by 2014. That's now changed to 2023.
Mm-hmm. Worry about what you can change?
Yeah.
Ride with the rest of it. Go with the flow.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take another call. Let's go to Matt in Chicago. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey there.
Hello, Matt.
Merry Christmas, too.
Hey, thank you. You too.
Hey, you were talking about paperwork and being prepared and not waiting to the, you know, after the end of the year or even end of the tax season.
Yes.
You know, many years ago, I used to do that. And the stress level and, you know, trying to remember what some receipts were for from way back in January, a year and 2 months ago, when you're doing in April. But over the years, I've, you know, come up with a really good system, and then I found you, and you suggest the same system that I invented on my own. But I do my paperwork almost every other week. And
that's a great way to do it.
And I can tell you right now what all my numbers are for the end of the year and guess my miles, because I happen to take an extra load. I'll be running back out again next week, and my miles are actually down 19,000 miles over last year, but my net income is still the same.
Wow.
I run off the net income, and when that gets to the level I want it to, I slow down.
There you go. You know, that is such a different way of looking at this industry, but I think it makes so much sense. We've been brainwashed in this industry over the years. Miles, 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 miles. I used to make fun of carriers when I would look at their recruiting, because they would scream, more miles. Who really wants more miles when you think about it? What we all want is more money, not more miles. We want to figure out a way to make more money and work less. I mean, that's just smart.
Well, just over the last 3 years, 3 years ago I did 168,000 miles. Last year I did 158. This year I'll have 139.
Wow.
And
great, Matt. Great.
My revenue is actually, well, the gross revenue has gone down, but the net revenue has gone up slightly.
And that's really what, I mean, to run less miles and have your net revenue go up, those are exactly the kind of goals we should be setting.
Well, yeah, that or fuzzy math.
Yeah. We're in the wrong business for that. That business ended in November, the fuzzy math business. We got a bunch of you.
It's a running joke between me and Kevin. We have to argue with some people about some things, but
yeah.
So,
yep.
Well, that's a great that's a great story, Matt, and a great example of what we've been talking about. It doesn't matter at the end of the day how many miles you ran; it's how much money did you make. And Kevin, I don't know if it was you or if it was Jeff and Todd Amon from ATBS who kind of got me thinking along the lines of looking at it as revenue or profit per day or per week as opposed to per mile.
You know, I think in the beginning it was probably those guys.
Mm-hmm.
That is something they've worked on, and something over the years working with them I kind of adapted to myself. And when I teach the revenue side of things, I actually teach it per day now to look at what your fixed costs are, what your variable costs are, what our cost per day is, how much we need to make when we're out running. And it really is a different focus. On the expense side, certainly makes sense to just do everything by the mile. On that income side, we really want to look at, if I'm going to be out here working, how much do I need to make per day? And then from that, you know, you really can start to focus on, when I leave the house, I want to be out here making money every day.
Right.
I don't want to be sitting somewhere waiting for something because I'm just losing money when I'm sitting. I want to be out here. I want to keep moving. When it's time to go home, I'm going home. I'm going to take my time off, and I'm going to enjoy it.
I think you're right. Time's the only thing we can't make more of.
Yep, absolutely. We've got a couple more questions. Actually, we've got a bunch. We better get to some here. Let's go to Illinois. Harold, welcome to the program.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Kevin and Rocco. How are you doing?
Good.
Thanks,
Harold.
Merry Christmas
to you.
Hey, I got an application from Landstar, and they put in a sample load board page. Then I was wondering, the prices that they had on that sample load board, would that be reflective of what would be going in my pocket, or is that the gross?
Typically what you see on the load board is the gross, Harold, but without looking at what they sent you, I'm not 100% sure of that.
All right, and I got a few other mechanical questions, but I guess I'll have to call back at a later date for that.
Yeah, we will get to those at another time. So let's go to California. Rusty, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I comment there was on your taxes. The only thing you can do about your taxes after the fact is to put more money into your Roth IRA, which will drop your taxable income.
A Roth IRA won't.
What do you mean? Roth, a regular IRA, you can put money into that after the fact, on your money into last year's.
Correct. Yeah, a Roth IRA does not affect your tax return in any way this year. Won't lower your tax at all. There are some advantages to a Roth, and we'd have to save all those differences and advantages and changes for another show, because it takes me quite a while. Our options keep getting more and more complicated as our tax code gets more complicated. But you're absolutely right. The one thing that we can do after the fact is retirement planning. But, and this is where it gets complicated, over the years we've had, I'm going to list the ones that I can remember, traditional IRAs, Roth IRAs, individual 401ks, 401ks, SEP IRAs, KEOs, Simples, HR10s, that was a while back. All of those retirement accounts all had different rules. And there were some of them that got pretty confusing, and people still have some of those. Some of them did not allow for you to change your retirement contribution after the fact. Some of them you had to have funded before the end of the year. Many of them you had to open at least before the end of the year. So retirement planning is a good one, but I wouldn't wait till April to try to do it. I would make sure you know if you've got a retirement account, what kind of retirement you've got, and whether or not you're going to have that option to contribute all the way up to April or not.
Right. I have another quick question about Verraco. Is that you guys are talking about going to electronic logging. What happens to all your drivers or prospective drivers that are considering joining your company there that are running mechanical motors?
We're really probably got the wrong guy on the radio to answer that question, Rusty, because I don't know the answer to that. I don't even know, I don't have a great handle on how the logs work, but I'm not sure that it's tied to an electronic engine. I just don't know. We're not the only company running that type of engine, and so I'm sure that if there is a mandate coming or regulatory change, it will take trucks like that into account. But the short answer is I just don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, just I haven't put a lot of time or effort or research into it, but just off the top of my head, it really wouldn't be that difficult. Certainly, we can tap into the ECM on an electronic engine to get a lot of data, but it's really not required. I mean, we really only need to know a couple things. Is the truck moving? It is a big one, and simple GPS, I mean, the GPS you've already got sitting on your dash knows whether or not the truck's moving.
Yep.
You know, if we had to track key on time, we could do those kind of things without an electronically controlled engine. So it is one of the issues. I know I've seen it talked about, but it's really, in today's world, it's not going to be that difficult to figure that one out. May require a different piece of equipment, but it's not going to be that tough. Let's see. We are just about out of time. Rocco, why don't you give out that phone number one more time?
Phone number again is 800-435-4010. One more time, 800-435-4010.
All right, and one other thing I wanted to get covered because we may or may not get a chance to visit with you before then. BCO Appreciation Day is coming up. If somebody hasn't been there, what's it all about?
Boy, a VCO Appreciation Day, it's a great big party at Landstar, best way to describe it. Thursday, January the 27th through Saturday the 29th, if I have the dates correct. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner will be served. We have meetings. It's a great place to learn about Landstar, learn about what our plans are for the months and years ahead, win some great prizes. Most of our largest suppliers will be there, and it's for one other reason. It's a great time. You talk with the people on the phones all day long. Come on in and meet them. It's an open house. It's just a great time, Kevin. We've been doing them for about 25 years.
Yeah, I've been I was trying to remember the first time I went. It was sometime during the 90s, and I was amazed then, and I've been a couple times over the last couple of years, and it just it really is a great way to get caught up on a lot of information. Like, food's all taken care of. There's all kinds of things going on. One of the things that I always see happening, well, a couple things that I see happening there, it's a great time to spend with some vendors. Similar to what you could do at a truck show, say like Louisville or Mats, but so much more relaxed, and the vendors all have more time, and you can really get in depth. You know, what happens at the big truck shows, if I want to go talk to Michelin about their tires, it's pretty rushed. I mean, everybody's busy at those truck shows. You get the basic information, they hand you a brochure. Maybe you can get some questions answered, but a lot of times it's kind of hectic. I've seen your BCOs at Appreciation Days really sit down and spend quality time with a vendor and get really good questions answered. And it's just not rushed.
I don't know about Louisville and how they divide that time up, but, you know, the vendors and their booths, but the person that you meet at the Landstar event is responsible to his company for the Landstar account. So the people that he's talking to, our BCOs, are the people that are making the buying decisions that really affect the status of the account and that person's paycheck. So you really tend to get some, as you just described, some very good conversations out of the deal. That's a great great point. You know, we give that Peterbilt truck away again this year. I failed to mention, you talked about coming in the late 90s, and I'll bet we had about 300 people at that show. We'll put 1,200 or 1,500 chairs under that big tent in the parking lot this year and fill them up at dinner time. It's just a great, big, nice way to spend a couple of days. We honor our million-mile safe drivers Saturday night. So if any Landstar BCOs, if you're listening, we would love to have you.
The other thing that I see happening a lot when I'm there is the interaction and the networking between BCOs.
Sure.
The time they spend together, and a lot of times you'll see those long-time BCOs, and you guys have a lot of them. You guys have guys that have been around for a long time. They know the system really well, and I have watched them spend time with newer guys and newer teams and just really helping each other out and picking up a lot of tips from each other. I see the networking going on a lot.
Peer-to-peer learning, we call that, Kevin, and it goes on quite a bit at our appreciation days and at our orientation centers and lots of places. That's another good point. Hey, before I forget here, I started the radio show Saturday with this message, and I want to make sure I get it out again, and that is simply to Landstar BCOs and to everybody that's listening tonight that operates a truck, just a very simple message of thank you. You do a difficult job. You do a largely thankless job, sometimes a job that's not respected very much, but everybody in this country is indebted to the work that you do, and I just want to say very simply, thank you. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Rocco. We are all out of time. Phone number one more time.
It is 800-435-4010. Once again, 800-435-4010. Thanks to everybody, and happy holidays.
And again, thank you, Rocco. Thank everybody for joining us. We're all out of time. The live show's coming up in 30 minutes on SiriusXM, so we will see you there. Remember, be safe, be profitable, be responsible. and master the journey. Good night, everyone. I'm Kevin Rutherford.